I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, Midas Tiki, CBS Sports Radio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I sincerely hope that that you appreciate what you are watching. Last night was a gift from the sporting gods. A gift. Last night was rare stuff. Zion Williamson is a gift from the sporting gods. Confirmed. I mean, we kind of already knew this. Wow. You know what's crazy about Zion Williamson here? You know, and you look at the thread of great players over the years, you know, and on occasion it'll come up on this show, usually pertaining to Michael Jordan and LeBron, greatest of all time, which obviously is played out by now, obviously. But if you go a little deeper down the list, you know, third, fourth, fifth, you construct your top 10 list of all time. And, you know, again, it's obviously the height of subjectivity. Every time we talk about that, I always say that there's no right or no wrong. Although there are, you know, if you really consume the NBA and you know the NBA, there's a lot of names that get repeated. I guess the issue is how many are modern, depending upon your age, and where do you really, you know, where do you insert them in terms of their numeric placement, if you will. But most of the names are the same. You know, obviously Jordan, you got LeBron, you got Wilt, you got Magic, you got Bird, you got Oscar Robertson. You know, you got maybe Shaq isn't the top 10 for you. Not for me, but Duncan. You know the names, right? What's amazing about this is some of you will throw Kobe in there. We saw a few of LeBron James's high school games. Matter of fact, we probably saw more than a few. In fact, he was on the cover of Slam. That was really at a very interesting point in how we consume sport. And the shift in power was, you know, in its formative stage toward the athlete. Even Kobe, we had some footage, you know, Lower Merion, some clips, maybe the state championship, a rivalry game. Got a little look at Kobe in high school. MJ, 3 years at UNC. But keep in mind, you know, and you got to remember this, that I don't really remember watching Jordan's first year, or quite frankly, I can't lie to you and say that I even remember watching him splash that jump shot to seal it. You know, the 15-footer all net to win the title. I don't remember watching that because I was too young. But MJ at UNC, 13 points, 4 rebounds, a little less than 2 assists per game. Obviously a bit stifled by Dean Smith in terms of, and stifled is the word I use by design. Dean Smith was great, and I say that with a smile, but we all know if Dean would have let MJ go loose, he probably would have dropped in 30 every night. Not to mention that MJ had a vibe for the basketball from other great players, right? You know, you look around. I mean, good luck finding a Larry Bird game on TV back in the day. Indiana State, where the hell are you going to watch that? Unless you're in Indiana, or unless they're playing Magic for the championship, or, you know, a Sweet 16 game, or maybe NBC. I guess it would have been NBC back then, covered some random Sycamore game, maybe. You got a little more lucky with Magic. You know, you saw Michigan State, obviously, in the Midwest, of course, Judd Heathcote, and a great, great program, great lineage. But even Magic at Michigan State, you weren't able to consume him with any sort of regularity. And then we get to Zion Williamson, and this is what I take away. And I'll get to the trip, and I'll get to the point. Never missed a shot. That's just amazing what he did last night. But Zion Williamson is the first athlete that is going to wind up being one of the true all-time greats, team sports. I'm not talking individual. We saw Tiger's whole run, great tennis players, great soccer players, team sports. Even Bryce Harper, you know, when he played in JUCO, you know, I mean, but when he circumvented the system and he bought himself a year, I mean, it's on YouTube. Did you watch any games? The answer is no. And, of course, there's footage of him hitting a roof at the Trop in the high school home run derby with a metal bat when he cranked 1.503, but we weren't locked in real time. Zion Williamson This is why I say to start the show, I really hope that you recognize that this is a gift from the sporting gods, because this is the first person in team sport that we will be able to say with great clarity and incredible conviction, no uncertainty, that we saw every step of the way from one of the all-time greats. Who else can you say that about? Who else can you really truly say that about? We've seen, if you wanted to, we've seen every single second of Duke basketball this year. And we will see every single second. Oh, can't wait till tonight, 9 o'clock UNC. You kidding me? That's going to be insane. If you want to see every single second of Duke basketball the rest of the way, you will. And then he'll get drafted first overall. And then based on the way we consume professional sports, you will, in theory, be able to consume every single second of Zion Williamson's amazing platinum career that is on the horizon. He is absolutely, and I don't really say stuff like this much, he is absolutely destined to go down as one of the all-time greats. And it's not just the hops. Yeah, that's part of it. Not just the strength. Yeah, that's part of it. There's two things that jumped out. I was watching this. Obviously, I got home from the St. John's debacle. Oh, my God. I got to sweat out Selection Sunday now against Marquette, who's obviously a good team. So by the time I got back from the Garden, it was a little bit late, obviously put on the UNC game, put on the Duke game. And the post-game reaction, we were able to peer into Zion's soul. There are great players, and there are great talents, and there are great shooters, and there are great dunkers, and there are great, you know, freakishly gifted. Dominique Wilkins was freakishly gifted coming out of Georgia. You didn't see him much, but he was. Zion Williams has the heart and the soul of not only a great competitor, but a great teammate. And that is rare. He's riding counterintuitive to society. All these clowns, and he called them out last night. Ah, don't play. Don't risk losing the money. It is, and maybe I'm a little swayed by that, because the sentiment of that statement, you know, that I should say the sentiment of what he elected to do to come back is powerful. It's potent stuff for me. Like, I love that. You know, every time Tiki and I get into it about sports, he's obviously coming at it from a different point of view. He played for millions. I played for passion. So I just wasn't good enough. So my meter, my heartbeat was my passion. And when you see that, and it's so visible in somebody who is so freakishly gifted, it's rare. You know, Kobe was like that for sure. Warrior, rip your heart out of your throat, or out of your chest, I should say. LeBron, too. Getting a little weird with LeBron the last couple of years, but LeBron's a beast. We all know. Let's not start killing LeBron, because it's been a weird season. Despite all the power plays and the behind-the-scenes machinations, it annoys me as well, but LeBron's insane. Zion Williamson is cut from a different cloth. And I'm watching him last night, and I'm watching him on the post-game show. Here's what he says. I love playing for Duke. I love my teammates. I couldn't leave my guys hanging. End quote. This is, again, for about 5 weeks, him hearing from every direction. And listen, Zion, you know, we probably have about minimally at the outset, $400 or $500 million from Nike, or if anybody's willing to outbid them, maybe Under Armour, if they even have that kind of cash, maybe Adidas, something else, whatever. You know, do you really want to risk this, man? I respect your heart. I love that you want to get back on the court, but man, you got to really think about this, buddy. I mean, this is generational wealth. I'm playing. Undeterred, unwavered, focused on getting back on the court with his guys. And you know what? He's going to beat Carolina tonight. He's going to beat him. And he's going to probably miss a shot, although it's been, even going back to, there's like a stretch of, I think it's 19 straight shots, 13 last night and then 6 prior to that. So he's on this ridiculous run. But Zion Williamson doesn't come around too often. Yeah, maybe the pro template will change him a little bit. You know, it kind of hardens everybody, unfortunately. But, you know, I believe if his body holds up, you know, he's going to maintain that joyous, that youthful exuberance, not to mention the incredibly unique skill set. This guy is ridiculous. He really is. And do me a favor. Don't waste your time. I'll give you the platform to do this. But are you going to really waste my time call up and say Frank Howard should not play in the NCAA tournament or Frank Howard, whatever, or Syracuse goes? Are you kidding me? Compare what Frank Howard did to Grayson Allen. Not even close. It's not even close. Frank Howard, you know, listen, common sense. When you do something planned, or you want to say it was, you know, premeditated, oh, I'm going to try to trip up Zion, you know, get him hurt, get him out of the game, we got to win this game. Do you really think he would have reacted and tried to catch him and, like, put his hands out? Or is he just that good of an actor? Like, was it actually mapped out that far in advance? You know what? We ain't beat, even though they made a real run, and then, of course, Duke pulled away. Wait, we're not beating these guys if Zion plays 30-something minutes and goes bonkers. So let me trip him, hurt him, and then I'll actually feign interest in catching him so that I'll preemptively, you know, take the bait away from those who are going to crush me on social media saying I shouldn't play. You really think what Frank Howard did was dirty? I think that you don't know sports. And I don't care if you played in sports. I don't think you know sports if you think that.
I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I thought that maybe it was true. But when I heard what Frank Howard said after the game, it made me think twice about what I saw.
I was just showing the video on the way out here. But, if you're saying I'm trying to trip him, I don't get it. I saw the play. I realized I tripped him, and I tried to, you know, give him a little hand. But at the same time, I'm in the heat of the game with a very tough defender on me. You know, I was trying to get open, get the ball, you know, get the ball out fast. He's a hell of an athlete, a hell of a player. You know, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to wait 4 years to get to this stage. I got him late, obviously, at the Garden with the Big East, but I watched the end of the game and I watched the postgame presser. I saw that live. I'm glad you piped that in, Mike, for people who may not have heard that. I just don't think it was intentional. I really don't. And to compare that to Grayson Allen, and by the way, if it was anybody but, even if it was Barrett, or any other great college player, you know, there's no way this would have been the focal point that people lazily tried to make it. I know that there's slow days when we do what we do. There are days you come to, whether it's the radio station or the TV station, and you're looking at each other, you're like, man, what are we going to craft today to have a meaningful conversation? What can we do? How can we, you know, conjure up emotion in our audience and really get them engaged and get them to latch on to some content? Today's not the day that you have to do it. So to create this ridiculous false narrative that Frank Howard, that was dirty, that was pre-planned, I think you lost. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. All right, coming up next. So Santa was saying before the show, if Zion lands in New York with the Knicks, he was asking me the question, will he be the face of the NBA for the next 10, 12, whatever, however many years it is? He can go to Cleveland. He's going to be the face of the NBA. It doesn't matter where he goes. That's how good he is. And I'll tell you this as well. We'll get the calls. If you disagree with anything I said, we'll get into it. But I was also, and you know the movie, you should get the reference, I was tempted to lock myself in the bathroom. Put him in a bathroom. I'll explain coming up. It was ridiculous. I'm embarrassed. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. No offense. I mean, really, I mean this in all sincerity. I don't want to come at you too hard. It's a Friday, getting loose, getting ready for the weekend. But if you think what Frank Howard did was dirty, you're a wimp. No one else to tell you. No one else to tell you. All right, my little mush story. So I'll make this one quick. We'll get some calls. 1-855-212-4227. I take great pride in being the complete antithesis of being a mush. There are mush men out there in this business. Oh, this team's a lock. They get rushed by 30. Oh, 7-point spread. They're guaranteed cover. They lose by 13. Oh, this, you know, over-under 76 points. Oh, it's gonna be a shootout. 50-45. Scored 90-plus points. It rains. You know, it's 20-17. Not that I'm always right. I don't mean that. But very rarely am I a mush. Put him in a bathroom. And your boy BT was in Mushville hardcore today. So, obviously, there's a lot going on, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on golf, although I'll spend a little bit in the third hour. It is the Players' Championship, thought to be the fifth major. Tiger's playing, and my mush story revolves around Tiger Woods. So, I'm watching this. I'm in my office at home, And I'm getting ready for the show a little bit, and I'm obviously doing primarily college hoop stuff. And I'm like, that's right, Tigers teed off a little bit early today. You know, relatively benign round one, 37th place, whatever it was. Wasn't great, wasn't awful. We worried about his neck, so I want to be sure he got through the round unscathed. And I tune it. I'm like, I think I saw a tweet, and then I put it on the golf channel. Yeah, the tweet inspired me to change channels. So I see the Tigers ripped off three birdies in his first seven holes. Now, he starts on the back nine. So, obviously, at that point, he had yet to deal with the island green at Sawgrass. So, I'm like, oh. Me getting all, of course, me getting pumped up. So, I tweet this. Tiger on point thus far in round two at the Players' Championship. Three birds in seven holes. No bogeys. Minus five on the event. Jumping 27 slots from yesterday. Now tied for eighth. Two off the lead. Hand to Bible. I swear to God, as soon as I hit enter, I look up, he rinses his tee shot on the par three island, right? Now he's got to hustle just to make bogey. And instead of hitting from, I guess, the same club from the same spot, maybe just taking a little bit of juice off of it because he was long in the back. And he got a little bit of a bad break, but you rinse it, you rinse it. It is what it is. You're a pro. If you get wet, you get wet. And he got wet. So the option there is, all right, you know, drop two, hitting three from the tee box, or move up to the drop box at a different kind of a swing. Maybe some different spin, whatever. Whatever good golfers do. And he hits that one out of bounds. I'm like, oh. So I go to, this is one of the few times I was actually trying to, I was like, wait a second. I just put that tweet up. Maybe I can delete it. Nobody saw it. I look back. God is my witness. Within, I don't know, 9 seconds, I see like immediately nine retweets and a bunch like mush, hashtag mush, go back to bed, mush. So I think I really have to stop. That happens with me in golf. It doesn't really happen with anything else. To be fair, I wasn't locked into the round because I hadn't seen the first seven holes. I saw it on Twitter. I was following a little bit yesterday. You guys know Teak and I love golf. I follow it probably a little more than Teak, to be honest. I'm all over it. But it, shot for shot, it wasn't on. It was the play. It was like live from the Players' Championship. So the timing was terrible. But what a horrendous look for me. Like, that was embarrassing. I felt like a mush.
Well, let me just say this one thing. We've talked for years about the Teak and Tierney mojo.
Yeah.
About how we would get a guest on the show, and then that guest would go along and win the Daytona 500 or win a major or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We've kind of been struggling a little bit lately. I mean, think about some of our last two guests. We had Admiral Schofield of Tennessee. The next day, they lose.
That's true. I was thinking about that.
We had Zach Norvell Jr. of Gonzaga, and then they lose in the WCC Finals to St. Mary's.
They lost to the Gales.
I think we need to go talk to Joe Boo and maybe Serrano, maybe get a little bit of that mojo.
Get a
maybe
little rum.
A little rum, a little voodoo, maybe get a live chicken so we can get that Teak and Tierney mojo back.
Might not be a bad idea. I mean, I'm willing to do that. We can video it, get a little chicken blood. That I won't do. Have a little rum. That was awful. I mean, can you have a worse tweet than that? That was heinous. Literally, as soon as I hit enter, rinse. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll do this a little bit later as well. Ryan Tannehill signed with the Titans. And top of the hour, so 30 minutes from now, Kareem Hunt. Obviously get into that. And did you see the story? If you didn't, we'll light it all up for you here. A former Steeler who basically accused Big Ben of fumbling on purpose because he didn't like the play that was sent in from Todd Haley. I mean, I don't know if it's true. We've got the audio of it. I've seen the video of the actual play. It's from 2014. Again, I'll expound more later. It's enough evidence at least makes you think about it. And the more, that like the deeper we get into Ben's career, how do I say this nicely? The less I like him. You know? Like, the less I like Ben. And this is crazy, too. Has there ever been a worse offseason in the history of modern sports, somewhat modern, than the Steelers have had this season? Can you think of anything? I mean, I was trying to rack my brains. I mean, there's always, listen, you can say, well, when LeBron first left Cleveland, yeah, that's certainly an emotional scar. That's an abrupt change. It changes the entire dynamics. He's from Ohio. I get it. But multiple ousters, the best receiver in football, and when he's healthy, and he usually is, hopefully that continues with my team, the best two-way running back in football? maybe since Marshall Faulk. You know, he's bigger and stronger than Tiki. Tiki was great, but a little different. Bell's like 222, you know, 230. Different kind of player than Tiki was, but obviously Tiki could do both. I mean, they are in a weird spot. Weird.
I got a couple. We can discuss this later, but I think about those two Marlins World Series winning teams that literally immediately after winning the World Series just throw everybody away and dismantled the entire thing.
But here's the thing. They got the trophy. Steelers didn't even win. So at least the fans in South Beach, and yeah, they've had to go through that dance twice, which is disgraceful, but at least they had the residue of the success. I'll think about it. I was thinking about this on the way in as well. I couldn't come up with many, but we'll hit that a little bit later in the show. All right, so Zion Williamson, and here's what doesn't get, I don't think this gets the pop that it really should, because we're all enamored with dunks. You know, it kind of feeds into the social media frenzy, short attention spans, the immediacy of the moment. If you want to talk about his skill, all right, and you really watched the game last night, you see how many deflections he has? You see how he anticipates the passing lanes? The other thing that I think Zion has, and I know that, yeah, listen, the three-point shot is what it is. He's still a young pup. He'll smooth that thing out. But I always look for mechanics. And you've always heard, you know, I've referenced like Sean Marion. There's a couple of guys with quirky shots. Even Reggie Miller was a little bit non-conventional, if you will, or unconventional. But I want to see squared shoulders. I want to see, you know, a cocked wrist. And I want to see the elbow somewhere near the torso. And if you have that and you get rotation and you put the time in, you will become a good shooter. Unlike me, who was running around, this is a 1990s thing. Look it up on YouTube. This is pathetic. My dad got me, because I wanted him to, these things called strength shoes. And if you're around my age, you'll know where I'm coming from. They were like, they were sneakers. And they had like these cinder block things on the front where you would actually do basketball drills, and it would force you, just based on the design, the angle of the shoe, you had to move on the ball of your feet. I was a little flat-footed, and I wasn't very quick. So the thought was, if you start to engage different muscles, of course it didn't work. So if you're a subpar athlete in terms of bounce, in terms of, you know, burst, you're not going to change it. You might shave off 1/10 of a second if you alter your entire life. But if you put the time in to shoot, you will become a good shooter. And Zion Williamson, book it, will become a plus shooter. And the other thing he has, he's got a handle. Like, you see him mix it up. Like, he is, and it's not that it's just quick, but it's shifty, and it's low to the ground. And, you know, so if you take that thing above the waist in the NBA, they're ripping it right. You can't operate like that. Hands are flying. You're going to get your pocket picked every night. The mold is there. I'm going to say it. The mold is there for him to be better than LeBron James. The mold is there. Now, I'm going to stop short of Jordan, all right? Different player. But to compare it to his most recent peer, the most recent greatest player, you want to throw Kobe in there, fine. He will be a better pure shooter than LeBron James. He will be. He will be... He's a better rebounder. I know LeBron, he's got the numbers are there, but Zion has an instinct. I'm not going to say he's Moses Malone, but he's got an instinct around the offensive window. Like, these are the things that people don't talk about. Again, because we're consumed with how high can you jump, you know? Oh, look at that dunk. You don't even have to know basketball to appreciate Zion Williamson if you flip on Twitter. But if you do appreciate basketball, think about what I just said. He has a chance. He will, if he stays healthy, he will be better than LeBron. 855-212-4227. It's not a hot take. You don't have to react to it. That's cool. That's just how I feel. Get the update here from Jay Berman. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. If you want to react to that, certainly we'll wheel you in and we can joust. I'm always up for a little debate. Maybe you agree with me. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Kareem Hunt, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 Pacific, 8 games. Enough? Too much? We'll hit that. Football at the 40s in hour two. Right now, we got Jay's update. Here's Jay.
Nice.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Usually, no TV today, though. Covering the hoops as we get to the really the best time of the year. Sirius XM Channel 206. Tiki is out. How do you think our boy Jerry's doing, by the way? Jerry Ferraro was with me yesterday, 3 hours. And interesting voting results there. It was pretty tight, right, Santa? I was checking the poll last night from the Garden, and it was like 54, 46%. It was close.
54% say that he should fight as hard as he can to make sure his son is a Giants fan.
I'm stunned, especially that it's him. You know, like if he was an entourage and he was, you know, Vince or he was E or he was drama. I know that, you know, E would occasionally wear the Islander stuff. I get that. But, I mean, he was the crazy devout sports fan. And it was a reflection of, you know, who Jerry is in real life. The fact that only 54% of the people who voted believe that he should fight to make sure his son is a Giants fan? For him? That's a little surprising. A little surprising. We've got inbounds, out of bounds here in a second. Kareem Hunt, 8 games. Too many, too few. We'll hit that. And also, former Steeler actually believes, and we've got the audio. It's incredible. We'll play it for you. That Big Ben fumbled on purpose back in 2014 because he didn't like the play call. Crazy stuff. So, with that being said, it's time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Then we'll do inbounds, out of bounds. Just tweet me at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and stick around. Listen later on. I will take the best one. Santa will help out with that as well. D-Cell 2. And make it interesting. Make me think, and that's probably the one that's going to win. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Let's hit it. IBOB.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, number one, 3-time Pro Bowl safety Landon Collins is now with the Redskins, and after wearing Tiki's number 21 for 4 years with the Giants, there are questions whether he'll wear the same number in Washington. If you remember, the late Sean Taylor wore 21 for 4 seasons before his untimely death in 2007, and no Skins player has worn the number since. Collins, who's idolized Taylor since high school, spoke with 980 The Team in D.C. and described the emotions he felt when he received a signed Taylor jersey from Skins owner Dan Snyder.
Once the words out of his mouth came, this is a signed jersey, game one jersey from Sean Taylor, I just broke down. I couldn't say nothing. I couldn't touch the box, and I broke down. I couldn't touch the jersey. It was a moment. It was a breathtaking. I think I was sitting there for about 20, 30 minutes. I couldn't eat, just stand at the jersey right there in the box. It was an honor, and I thank Mr. Snyder for that. And he's going to get the same passionate kid that he had in Sean Taylor.
Inbounds, out of bounds. The Skins should allow Collins to wear Taylor's jersey number.
Out of bounds. Out of bounds here. I look at this a couple different ways. First of all, I really applaud and appreciate Landon's candor, his sensitivity. It's always cool to hear something like that. It humanizes the athlete. That's just good stuff. So just want to make sure I got that in. But here's the real problem. You know, if football were, and I don't even know if I would co-sign this. My answer still might be out of bounds. But if the football lifespan were a little more like baseball, and I knew that Landon Collins was going to be with the Redskins for, you know, he's still a pup. He's in his mid-20s, you know, 8, 9, 10 years. You know, maybe I would give it some real thought, provided we confer with Sean's family. That's got to be a part of the equation as well. But the nature of NFL contracts, you know, obviously it would be overly punitive to cut him in a couple of years, but he's not going to be there. Especially with the Redskins, who don't even know what they're doing. So I believe the gesture, a great one from Dan Snyder. I believe you hang that up in a space in your home that is most important to you, and you get a chance to see it every single day. But no, I would not give him Sean Taylor's jersey. My answer is out of bounds. I would not grant him the green light for that.
Are you in or are you out?
Last night, the Eastern Conference went 3-0 against the West, with the Raptors beating the struggling Lakers, the Celtics beating the now-falling Kings, and the Pacers actually beating what were the number 3 seed, now the number 5 seed, OKC Thunder.
That was a good game. Russ had a chance to win that at the end with a 3-pointer.
And man, the Pacers are really, really
yeah, they
surprising.
Are.
The East boasts the 2 best records in the NBA and 4 of the top 6 best records.
That's crazy.
With obviously the Nuggets and the Warriors in the West having those other 2 spots.
Mm-hmm.
While the five seeds in each conference, the Celtics and the Thunder have identical 42-27 records.
Okay.
Very interesting here.
Mm-hmm.
Inbounds, out of bounds. This season, the top 5 teams in the East are better than the top 5 teams in the West.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I had to really contemplate this before the show, before I really came to my conclusion. I'm going to tepidly say out of bounds. You know, it's not a slam dunk. It's not some grand statement, some bold proclamation. I think the answer is out of bounds. I feel, you know, if I was going to attach a percentage to it, 57, 58%, certainly not 80-20, not 90-10, not 95-5, probably somewhere in the mid in the 50s. That the West is better, barely. You know, and a lot of this, and again, you know, maybe we're all going to lament this, although we've certainly given Indiana, we give the Pacers respect on this show. But a lot of this really depends on, are they for real? I mean, we keep kind of kicking them down the road. Wow, what a great story. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so good. It's amazing. All the Depot gets hurt. They're about to crash and burn. No, they're not. They're actually incredibly fun and incredibly successful. But, you know, can they win maybe one game of the first round? Would that really alter our perception? Yeah, I think that I reluctantly say that that could still be their floor, and I don't think their ceiling is incredibly high. I'm sorry. So I look at I should probably tell everybody the teams pertaining to the question. In the Eastern Conference, in order, it's the Bucks, the Raptors, the Pacers, Philly, and Boston. And in the West, it's the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Houston Rockets, Portland, and OKC. Now, that game was in Indiana last night. Westbrook had a chance to beat them at the horn with a three. Front rimmed it, just missed it. Great look, too. So he had some space, and he missed it. If that ball goes through, would you have been compelled to ask me the question? Maybe not?
Probably not. But as you look at the East compared to the West, it really feels so much more even than it has in the past 20 years, really.
Mm-hmm.
Since Jordan left the Bulls, it feels as even in the East and the West, and I can remember it.
I don't know if I'd go back 20 years, Mike. You got to keep in mind LeBron's Heat. I mean, they were destroying people. I mean,
very top heavy. After the Heat, there was really nobody else.
I hear you. I guess it all depends upon, do you value a team that you deem as the odds-on favorite to be a champion and maybe a little thinner as you get deeper down the line, or do you believe in strength and numbers? And that's the old conversation about when we get it, especially now for March. You talk about, strength of conferences. If a conference has, like, one powerhouse that can win the national championship, but there's a lot of dead weight and teams that just aren't viable, do you prefer that model, or do you prefer a conference with, you know, four or five teams that in theory could get to the Sweet 16, but at least in terms of the odds aren't a real threat to win the championship? It's all personal preference, and I think that can actually fluctuate year to year. But I'm going to say out of bounds because I believe the Warriors will still win the championship. I believe Portland's still incredibly underrated. I still like the Thunder. I think if that game's at OKC, they win. I would say out of bounds. Good question.
Are you in or are you out?
The NCAA is investigating Georgia Tech for possible level 1 violations, the highest level of violations, in case you weren't aware, stemming from a 2016 strip club visit that involved a former assistant coach, a former friend of head coach Josh Pastner, and former Yellow Jackets star Jarrett Jack, providing two recruits with cash at the club. The former friend was also accused of paying for flights for two former players to visit him in Arizona. However, despite all of these allegations, the NCAA has cleared Pastner of all wrongdoing and doesn't hold him responsible for any of the alleged infractions.
Lucky guy.
Very interesting. And apparently he's been very forthcoming. He's been very helpful in the investigation.
Uh-huh.
So here's the question. Yep. Inbounds, out of bounds. The NCAA should levy harsh penalties against Pastner and Georgia Tech, despite the fact the coach had no knowledge or involvement whatsoever.
This is another tricky one. And can I just say, how come nobody, you know, I visited some schools. How come nobody took me to a strip club? That would have been fun. I probably would have signed. Depending upon how good it was. If you're into Ozark, if it was the first version of the strip club, I wouldn't have signed. If it's version number two, I would have. what do I think about this? Yeah, my visits were, here's the cafeteria, here's the dorms, here's the baseball field. You get two pair of cleats and a bat. All right, maybe I'll come. Let's see. Should they punish both Pastner and Georgia Tech? I'm gonna say out of bounds here because there's, I know, and I've said this before as well. At the end of the day, the head coach is the CEO of the program. If, you know, just like with Pitino, you know, a mile, not even, a couple of hundred yards away from his office. If you have an assistant coach, you know, bringing over escorts and giving the kids money, you got to know about it. It's under your nose. It's your program. But when outsiders, and even though Jarrett Jack played there, you know, in the early 2000s, at this point, he's still an outsider. He's not employed by the school. He was in the NBA. He was in the NBA when this was happening. I guess you've got to be fair and understand. Common sense has to trigger that, you know, it's impossible for the head coach to know everything. And when people from the outside permeate the inside, I guess I'm going to give that coach a pass. This is a really tough one because this contradicts what I usually say, but I'll say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, right to your bread and butter. Let's get to the links.
All right.
Rory McIlroy, who finished yesterday's round one.
Rory.
At the TPC Sawgrass, tied for fourth at -5. He's now even through six, so he's down to 15th at the event. Has won four majors during his career, however, hasn't won any since winning two in 2014. Mm-hmm. Over that span, he's had five top five finishes at majors, including second place at last year's Open Championship, but he's missed the cut four times at majors, has one total tournament win over the past 3 years. He did win the FedEx Cup in 2016, but then subsequently finished 58th, 13th, yikes, and now sits 11th in the standings.
Okay.
Inbounds, out of bounds, Rory McIlroy is still a top 10 PGA Tour golfer.
This is another really good question, and my answer is going to surprise you. My answer is out of bounds. Rory McIlroy, you know, Rory McIlroy is a great microcosm of what sells in, you know, obviously 2019 and a couple of years before that. He's a masher. He crushes the ball. And, you know, if you have a 590 whatever or a 612-yard par 5 and it's somewhat open, you know, he can dial it up and get that swing speed up and crank a drive 360, 370, get a good hop, maybe a little bit more, and not even have to take a hybrid or a wood in to the green. You know, if he's got some decent downwind conditions and the greens are receptive, blah, blah, blah. Not to, you know, bore you too much with golf. But the reason why the answer is out of bounds is because Rory McIlroy's putter stinks. And if you want to be a top 10 player in the world, you can't just come out on a Thursday and shoot a 63 and then coast for a couple of rounds because nobody can catch you. You also have to be able to recover when you shoot a 73 on Saturday and come back and shoot the 65 on Sunday when the pins are tucked away and the stimp is rolling at about 14, which, for those who don't know, that means that just the greens are really hard. They're really fast. They're like concrete. His putter's not good enough. He's not incredibly creative around the green. He's not anything special out of bunkers. His imagination, like Seve, was great. Tiger's great at that. Phil's great at that. When Jordan Spieth is right, Jordan Spieth is right. He's great at that. Dustin Johnson's not great at that. Neither is Brooks Koepka, but they're still more consistent than Rory. So I love Rory. The game's in a better place when Rory's mashing. And you see a leaderboard, then Rory's on the first page. It's usually a great event and must watch. But if I'm going to be fair, the answer is out of bounds. Rory's got to get that putter going.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Going to get to Kareem Hunt's situation coming up next on the show. What up, Mike?
Just a quick question. Do you think it's more that Rory has gotten worse or that the talent around him has just gotten better?
He was
so good.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he was ever very good at the things that I just described. He was able to kind of circumvent that for a little bit. But it's an interesting question because, you know, he burst on the scene before Koepka exploded, even before Dustin Johnson truly exploded, before Jason Day truly exploded. And, you know, if you hit it 340 or 350, like he does, and there's a relative dearth of world-class players, I don't want to say you're going to stumble upon a few more wins, but you might, as opposed to now and compared to now where, I mean, all these guys, there's a lot of mashers. And what separates you is, can you mash it? And do you have the touch? And, you know, I've read books about this. I've watched documentaries about this. It's fascinating. And again, not everybody appreciates this. So I'm not going to go too detailed here. But it's fascinating to really learn about how important the mind is. I mean, golf in totality, but to have imagination around the greens, like the great ones. And I'm talking about, I've heard Jack expound on this and Arnie and, you know, Seve before he passed away, even Phil now, the flop shots, the crazy stuff. You just see things and you have the confidence to try them that others don't. Kareem Hunt coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.